Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good. And all the time, we also know that God has called us through His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, with three commands. Those three commands sum up all of the Scripture, and they are love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in that, we must find ourselves every day, because in those three commands is life, in those three commands is hope, in those three commands is joy, and in those three commands is our salvation through our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And we all say, amen. So to that, we are entering into Lent this first Sunday, and as you see from the sermon title, there are seven things that we must let go of if we are to live life abundantly. How many of you out there like being told what you must do? I got one guy raising his hand, and he's being facetious, if I will say the least. As adults, we don't like being told what you must do. But here's the reality that I want you to answer for yourself. Are you God? Well, a lot of us think we are with a little g. Can I get an amen on that one? Yeah, I got people nodding their heads yes. Because of sin in our lives, we think we have control over everything that happens in our lives. How many of you find that you can control everything in your life? How's that working for you? Yeah, it doesn't. Why? Because we're not God. We can't see these things coming. Can I get an amen? They hit us blindsided. Now, not all of them, because a lot of the things that hit us, we literally work into slowly. But that's because we've made poor choices. And that's what we're going to talk about today, because the number one thing that we have to do is let go of control. And I know that is a hard thing to say, because as adults, as parents, as businessmen and women, you know, however you want to phrase that in your life, but Pastor, I've got to have control. If I don't have control, then you know, how do I know what direction I'm supposed to take? Well, I want you to understand that there are some things you have full and total control over, okay? If you need a refrigerator at your house, do you think God cares if you buy a Whirlpool or a Tappan or whatever? No, He has no. You need a refrigerator. Buy a refrigerator, okay? How many of you understand that God doesn't care if you buy a Jetta or a Wii, not a Wii, what are they called? Kia, okay? He has no care what vehicle you drive, okay? He knows you need transportation. There are some things that we get to choose. There are some things that we need to understand. Yes, you do have control over. But there are things in life that God says, I need control, because you're going to make bad choices in these areas. They are the areas that lead to problems within our lives. And God says, if you don't give me this control, somebody else is going to take it. What do I mean by that? Open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, because I've got to go all the way back to the beginning, because this is not new. This is old. I'm going to be in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And when I say back to the beginning, I mean back to the beginning. And that's where it all began, and it's where everything comes from. And when we understand that this is nothing new, as God says there's nothing new under the sun, we need to take into consideration where it began and how it has yet perpetuated itself. Because we have taken control. We were actually, how many of you realize we were given control? We were given control. We were placed here by God as His image, and we were to have dominion over the whole thing. So that means we were given control. However, who were we supposed to follow? We were supposed to follow God, weren't we? Because we were His image here on this earth. So what happened? Well, let's look at it. From the 15th verse in the second chapter, we read these words. Then the Lord God took man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." And then jumping down to chapter 3, we're going to pick back up with that same narrative from verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Indeed, has God said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die.' The serpent said to the woman, 'You surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings." Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. What happened? What happened? I want you to think about what happened. There was one tree in the middle of that garden that they were given an ordinance against. They were only given one ordinance. Don't eat from this tree. Now, I want you to think about the garden, okay? I want you to think about the garden. In that garden, all the different blessings that they had, hundreds, thousands, we have no idea how big the Garden of Eden was. But can you imagine the diversity? Let's look at the diversity we have in our world, okay? We've got oranges and bananas and apples and grapes and olives and, you know, all these different fruits and vegetables. So think about the Garden of Eden. How much of that stuff was there? All of it. Everything was there. Everything that you could ever want, everything that you could ever desire, all the beauty and glory of God's creation in one place, all the trees, all the plants of food and anything that we would like. It was all there. But yet, in the midst of all that, there's one. And we're told, don't eat of it. Don't eat of it. And along comes this serpent. And the serpent speaks to the woman from verses 4 through 6. And he says, "Surely you will not die." Now, God had already told them that if they eat of the tree, they will die. In fact, I want you to look at what God actually says to the man. He says from verse 17 in chapter 2, "For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." Remember what I said to you, and I've said this many times. He doesn't say if you eat from it. He says when. So in that comment, he is literally looking at them, and he is telling them, "I already know you're going to do this. For when you do, you will surely die." And that is right there. We can all read it. It's not inferred. He is telling them, "For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." They had everything. How many of us have everything in life, but we want the things that we shouldn't have? Yeah, I got folks nodding their heads, yes. How many of us can stay away from those things, but yet there are people or circumstances that draw us to those things because of the pressures of society, because of the pressures of life? I want you to think about this, because that's exactly what Satan put on her. That is exactly what Satan put on Eve. "Well, you can't have this thing." Well, you know, why can't you have it? Because God knows that if you eat it, you're going to be just like him. You already are. You're his image. His image in innocence. Innocence is the closest thing that we can get to holiness. Do you understand that? Innocence is the closest we can get to holiness because we're not God. And in innocence, what did they do? They believed the lie. But I also want you to see something else, because we all like to blame it on Satan, don't we? We all want to blame that all on Satan. That was all Satan. He did that, and now we just got this problem ever since. No, it's the same problem we have today. Look at what Eve said. Look at what went through Eve's mind. Look at what went through Eve's heart. From chapter 3 and verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit. How many of us see these things that are out there in the world that we know we shouldn't have, that we know we shouldn't go after, but yet we go after them because I can control this. I can take care of this. I'm mature enough to handle this. And it's so amazing because those things handle us. You may be able to start into it and have some semblance of control, but over time you become out of control because the thing becomes your God. Remember, what we're talking about here, this is idolatry. Because rather than searching for her God, she was longing for that fruit. And that's exactly what happens in our lives. We need to understand, you and I need to understand, that when we lose control, it's because we've made something else our God, small g. Because rather than pursuing the capital G God of our lives and finding life and life abundant, when we pursue these little g things that we think are going to actually help us or accentuate our lives or make us feel good, what they end up doing is tearing us down. They make us invest so much in them that we don't have time for God anymore. What do you think happened to Adam and Eve the moment they ate from this? All of a sudden they realized they were naked and now they're running around worrying about everything. How many of us get ourselves caught up in these things that now I've got to worry about everything because of the choices that I made? God wants us to understand what's going on here. He wants us to see that letting go of control does not mean less. It actually means more and better because it's obedience unto life. Because as soon as we take control, now you've got to control death. Can you control death? No, none of us control death. We are not immortal. We are not God. Only God can control death. And in that, God wants us to deny ourselves for the selfishness that we seek and seek His will, giving Him the final say for our lives. All of us need to understand that as we go into Lent here, how many people are giving up something good for Lent? You know, it happens every year. Oh, I'm going to give up chocolate. I'm going to give up pizza. I'm going to give up soda pop. I'm going to give up. What are you doing? That's a work of self. Do you understand what I'm saying? We don't make it into heaven by works. We make it into heaven by commitment to Jesus Christ and the gospel thereof. Can I get an amen, church? And in that, if we don't stand, if we don't walk that truth, you know, we sing the songs, you know, we sung three songs. How many of you realize those three songs are foundational for who we are as Christians and what we believe? If you listen to them, they are three songs of Lent that we sang, okay? And most of you are going to say, well, how is that a Lenten song? Because of the words of that song. It talks about commitment to Christ. It talks about God's plan for our lives. It talks about worshiping Him and only Him. But how many of us worship the house that we buy? How many of us worship the car that we buy? You know, and I'm going to tell stories here. I love to tell stories. You know, Pastor loves to tell stories. I had a dear friend of mine, and he had an old Impala. that he drove, and it was a 1960s Impala, one of the four doors, you know, the big boats, you know, as big as a Cadillac, and they float down the road. He painted that thing black, and you know, I mean, it was super sharp. He had big old wide tires on the back. But now remember, this is a boat, okay? This isn't a muscle car. This is a four door that your mother would drive, and he turned this thing into this monstrosity of envy. Okay, and I love it because we all did. You know, we were kids, and I'm going to admit my faults. I thought it was the greatest thing since sliced bread because I didn't have a car, and he did. And we would drive around in that thing and think we were all that. Well, the reality was that car was not defining us, but I'll guarantee you it was defining us, wasn't it? Because it had control over who we thought we were rather than God having control over who we are and what people saw in our lives. Because according to the neighborhood, we were just a bunch of redneck hoodlums running around getting drunk. Well, yeah, that's about who we were. And God says, why? Why are you? You've made poor choices. Walk with me and I'll give you life and life abundant. Each and every one of us needs to understand that God has a plan that he wants for all of us. And if we don't submit control, if we don't let go of control, we're going to find ourselves in a world of hurt. How many of you have been there? Yeah. But Jesus teaches us a different way. Jesus calls us to something that I want us to understand. God does not want you to give up the good things of life for the season of Lent. Okay, it's not about what you do, it's about who you are. I want you to see who Jesus is. Come with me. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. We're going to chapter 4. The book of Matthew, and we're going to chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Because I need us to understand that Jesus has been tempted in every way that we have been tempted, yet is without sin. Why? What made the difference? What makes the difference? Well, we're going to find that out right now. From verse 1 in chapter 4, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. And on their hands he will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, on the other hand it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him alone. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. What happened here? Satan tried to do the exact same thing he did to Eve and Adam. He took God's word and he twisted it just enough to make it a temptation for Christ. But Jesus stood his ground. He allowed God to have the full control over his life through the word of God. Can I get an amen? So that means a couple of things. Number one, it means we need to know the word of God. Can I get an amen, church? We cannot guess about it. We need to know the Word of God. And Jesus Christ is the Word of God. John 1:1. Can I get an amen, church? And when we start to apply these things to ourselves, we need to have a relationship. Jesus had a relationship with the Father. Jesus was the Son, but he had laid down his divinity, he had laid down his glory, and he came as a full human being here on earth. But we need to remember, even though he was simply a human being, he was fully human, he was still fully God, and he knew that. So you see, he was one with the Father and could not deny the Father. And the Father wants us to be one with him again by choosing him over everything else that is going to be given to us. Many people have said, yeah, but Satan lied here. He said that he would give him all the nations of the world. You know, and how can he do that? He's not God. We gave Satan that dominion, folks. That was our dominion. He was simply giving back to Jesus. He was tempting Jesus with what we were given. But he forgot who he was talking to. The Son of glory, the Son of heaven, the Son of God, God and very God, who is over all things. Even in his human state, he was still over all things. And he couldn't be tempted. But you and I can. However, in his humanity, he shows us the power of the word in sticking to that which is true. Because I want you all to remember this. Please hold on to this with all your might. Jesus was empowered here on earth as he lived the exact same way you and I are empowered here on earth. And what is that power? The power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit kept Jesus. Just as he will keep us, but we have to make those choices. We have to say no to the little g God stuff and yes to the big G God stuff. Can I get an amen? I mean, he took him from just, you know, speak to these stones and make bread. How many of you can do that? Do you realize we do that all the time? Not in the manner that Satan's talking here. How many of you go to work every day so you can then go to the store to buy bread? How many of us have made our work our God? Because I've got to succeed. I've got to succeed. I've got to climb that corporate ladder. I've got to. We're making choices all the time. We need to understand that it's not always about money. God says, my children will never beg bread. If we are truly following God, walking in his ordinances, submitting ourselves to him, God will take care of you. We sing that song, don't we? God will take care of you in every way. Yeah, we sing it all the time. How many of us believe it? Nobody out there raised their hand. One lady was getting ready to, but I said nobody before she could get it up. It's tough. God never said it was going to be easy, but he said, I'll be there. Can I get an amen, church? He did. He said, I will be there. Jesus submitted everything to God's will, and when we do that, we will have life and have it abundantly. Now, I want to ask you something. How abundant was Jesus' life? After this period of time, how long did he live? How long did Jesus live after this period of time? Approximately 3.5 years. Approximately 3.5 years, and then he died. So how can you say he had an abundant life? Because he's the one who brought abundant life. He came back up from the grave, didn't he? He went to the grave on our behalf. That was obedience all the way to the end of his life, literally giving his life for all of us. And does he live an abundant life now? You better believe he does, because he's back in his glory. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, and he is waiting for that great and fateful day when the Father says, go get your bride, son, and then he's going to come after us. But are we committed to him in such a manner as to do and be that very same thing? Does the word say anything to us about such things that, you know, are we really blessed if we commit all our way unto the Lord? I'm going to tell you right now, every Sunday here through Lent, I am going to give you one of these scriptures to give you that encouragement. Because God does not want you giving up cake. God does not want you giving up soda pop or French fries or television or whatever. God wants us to give up the things that God has told us to give up since the beginning of time. And they are the things that will pull us away from Him and bring death if we don't follow Him. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. To the book of Psalms, I want you to turn to chapter 37. The book of Psalms, chapter 37. Chapter 37, and I'm going to read to you verses 1 through 11. And in this psalm, you're going to see some of the most beautiful poetry that God speaks to those of us who will walk with Him and obey Him, who will give Him control and the promises that He sends to us in that truth. From verse 1 in Psalm 37, "Do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious toward wrongdoers. For they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wretched man will be no more, and you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. But the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity." Blessed be the word of our Lord. Can I get an amen on this Lent Sunday? When we look at what he just said there, you know, I think it's amazing because Jesus said to us on the Sermon on the Mount, when he was speaking the Beatitudes, he said, "Blessed are the humble, for they shall inherit the earth." Can I get an amen? What does it mean to be humble? It means to be submitted to God. Do you understand that now? It doesn't mean that you think less of yourself. It means you think more of God. Can I get an amen? That He is our guide. He is our portion. He is our hope. He is our rescue. He is our provision. He is our sustainer. He is our Father. He is our guarantor. Everything that He is, we cannot be. But if we would yield control to Him, all of those things are now ours. And we will live the abundant life. We will inherit the earth and everything else. You've heard me say so many times, and I know you have, when I speak to my confirmands, no eye has seen, no mind has conceived what God has in store for those of us in Christ Jesus. I want you to think about something. How many of us go through life in this manner? We get 84 years, and then we die. Can I tell you how I go through life? We get 84 years and then we die. Because when I die in Christ Jesus, I am alive forevermore. But those who die having lived their life in this world, they're done. Their eternity is set. Oh, they'll live forever, but what they're going to live forever, there's not going to be any abundance. There's not going to be any joy. There's not going to be any hope. For they will find themselves in eternal damnation, and at the end of all things, they'll find themselves being destroyed forever in the lake of fire. We all need to understand, yeah, we get 84 years if by reason. Isn't that what the word says? But praise Jesus, we die. Because once we've been set free from this body and we receive our new body, we will live that abundant life forever and ever and ever and ever. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you make those choices now, you can begin to live that abundant life here on this side of the grave. Can I get an amen? Woo! Church, I want you to look around and see what's out there. How many of you want what the world is offering right now? How many of you want things to go back to the way they were 20 years ago? I got one hand halfway up. I had one the whole way up. The rest of you are looking at me and smirking and smiling. The reality is I don't want it to go back. I want it to go forward because that means Jesus Christ is coming. Can I get an amen, church? We know this stuff's going to happen. Jesus told us it's going to happen. We don't go backwards. We go forwards. We go forward unto eternity knowing that God will be proven God. God is God, very God, light of very light. He is our all in all, and in Him we have our being. If we walk with Him, if we choose Him, if we love Him, if we give control to Him. Now, I'm not talking every bit of control, as I said. You can become a banker. You can become a doctor. You can become a lawyer. You can become whatever you want to become. But I'm going to tell you right now, while you're becoming that, you need to be asking God, is that really what you want me to become? I was a machinist until I was 37 years old. That was my life. When I was 18, God called me into ministry, but I was not a Bible-believing Christian at that point in time. Well, Pastor, can that really happen? How can you say God called you into ministry at 18 when you weren't a Bible-believing Christian? Because I wasn't taught the Bible when I was 18. God was calling me. He saved me from suicide. I gave Him my life, and He showed me the end times. He said, "Into this you shall go." Looking at this thing coming is what He was talking about. And He said, prepare my people. And I was like, I ain't doing that, because I had no idea what it meant to be a spiritual Christian. I had never heard God talk before. I had no idea He even did such things, because I grew up in a church that everybody went to heaven and God loved everybody and everything was wonderful. You know, we just spread butter over it and make it thicker and thicker and thicker, and then we throw some sugar on it. How many of you ate those sandwiches when you were young? Yeah, I got people nodding their heads right now. You betcha. Thick butter and a bunch of sugar, sweet and fat, and boy, you just couldn't ask for anything better, right? Ah, wrong chicken. This life is not sweet and fat. This life, this world is designed to kill us. This world is designed, because of the one who's in control of it right now, to fill our body with cholesterol and give us a heart attack in a young age. That's what will happen if you eat those butter and sugar sandwiches. I got some folks who got that. But God wants us to understand that there is an abundant life. If we will submit to Him, if we will walk with Him, if we will glory in Him, if we will commit our way to Him and trust also in Him, He will do it. Do what? Give us the desires of our heart. Isn't that what the verse before it said? You know, I'm looking forward. I'm going to tell on myself and then I'm going to end here. I'm looking forward to 2025. Are we going to get to 2025? I have no idea. And if we do, what's the world going to look like? I have no idea. But I'm looking forward to 2025. However, it's not my God. Why am I looking forward to 2025? I am going to have the opportunity once again to go out west and hunt mule deer and elk with my son and my daughter-in-law. So yes, I'm looking forward to it. But am I making that my God? Is that going to happen? Well, let me tell you another sad part of this story. Because you see, 2 years ago, I had the same opportunity. 2 years ago, I had the same opportunity. And I said, no, son, I don't know why, but you know, I was all fired up at first. And after about a month, it was like, I'm not supposed to go. Because you got to invest a whole lot of money years ahead of time in order to get out there. You got to buy points and all kinds of weird stuff. And my spirit just said, no. And I was like, Lord, I don't understand the why. I really want to go. But okay, if you're telling me I shouldn't go, okay. Guess what happened 3 weeks, 1 week before they left. 1 week before they left. How many of you remember me getting a blood clot in my leg and my foot almost dying? My son was driving to Colorado, and I was in the hospital here in Lebanon. God knew what was coming before it came, and He prepared my heart and my spirit, and I was obedient. I could have spent thousands of dollars on something I wanted. I could have made it my God and just said, nope, I'm not going to pay attention to that thing that's in my spirit. I'm just going to go for it. And I didn't. And I didn't understand why. Until the day that happened and my son called me and said, Dad, we got the truck packed. Should we go? What if something happens to you? I said, what if? I said, praise Jesus. I said, get your butt to Colorado. And he couldn't understand. I did. My glory is in my Lord. Can I get an amen from the church? My glory is not in me. My glory is in the fact that 2 years prior, he made me aware that I wasn't going to be able to go. And I listened and I committed myself to that. And I saved myself all that embarrassment, all that financial burden that would have been lost and wasted. And now, my son has said, we're going to go again, Dad. Would you like to go this time? And I've prayed. I said, Lord, if it be thy good pleasure, I would love to go with my son because I probably won't get to go again after that. And guess what the Lord said to me? Have fun. And I'm looking forward to it. Am I going to get there? Is 2025 going to happen and I'm going to go? I have no idea. Do you have any idea what's going to happen tomorrow? None of us do. But if we trust God, don't you think he knows what's going to happen? And even if I don't get there, do you think it's going to bother me? No. Because ultimately, if Jesus raptures us out of here, I'll be in a far better place than Colorado. That's my point. Even when we follow God, we're not guaranteed what's going to happen in this life, but we know we're guaranteed eternity. Can I get an amen? But we've got to walk it. Don't just talk it. We've got to walk it. You want abundant life? The first thing we have to give up, and it's the hardest one, it is the hardest one, is control. And when he says move, move. I don't care if you agree with it or not. I don't care if it makes sense. What I care about is, and what God cares about is, are you going to believe God is God? And are you going to move in accordance? Today, brothers and sisters, I asked you, how many of you will delight yourself in the Lord and receive the desires of your heart? That's Psalms 37 and 4. May that be your drive through this Lenten season, looking to the truth of seven things that we must let go of if we are to live the abundant life here and into eternity. Pray with me this day. Father God, may we truly submit ourselves to you, and in that submitting, may we receive the desires of our heart. Not that we do that for that reason, but that you will transform our hearts to desire the things of you, because it's truly not about what we want, but it's about what you want for us. For Lord God, you have said that you will give us all things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things shall be added unto you. Father, we thank you that you truly do give us those desires, but you make our hearts right first, that we seek you always. First, in Christ Jesus, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.heartofchrist.com. theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.